That's right, Voice Guy. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Hometown home and business security company. Here's a nice text, Doran. You two are the best show in town. Appreciate you both. Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
That's nice.
It's very nice. It fills me with the warm and fuzzies at this early hour.
Yes.
It's always nice to get a compliment. I got a hair in my mouth.
Oh, that's not good.
It's probably my own, though.
I hope.
Who else is hairy that sits here?
Who isn't hairy that sits there?
Good point by you. You can text us as well, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Steelers get Preston Smith, Edge from the Green Bay Packers for a 7th-round pick. Steelers get Mike Williams, wide receiver from the New York Jets for a 5th-round pick. Are you laughing at the use of Edge?
Edge.
I love when like these draft nicks out there, like Alex Cazora, who I think does a great job for Steelers.com, anytime he talks about an edge defender, it's just Edge in
Edge
full caps. Like, he's always yelling Edge at us. So two moves made by the aggressive Omar Khan yesterday, and we wonder how you feel about it. Doran and I are buying what he's selling. How do you feel? 412-928-9370. Before we get to Anthony in Oakland to start the calls, I am just happy the Steelers have an aggressive general manager. And I would have been really critical of Omar Khan today if he didn't get anything done. The team is 6-2. They don't look like a fluke. Last year, they were 6-4. They were 6-3, actually. And you never bought it. In 2020, they were 11-0, and you never bought it. This team, to me, feels like it's got staying power, Doran. 8th in the league in rushing, 13th in scoring, 2nd in scoring defense, the best special teams in the league, one of the best kickers in the league. They're well-rounded. Their point differential would back this argument up. Some of their EPA statistics, if you buy into that mumbo-jumbo, that would back it up. They feel like a good football team, and what do you do when you feel like you got a good football team? You go for it.
Yep.
You go for it, and that's what Omar Khan's done. So I think he's done a great job as Steelers general manager. Eventually, that's going to have to, you know, bear itself out in a little bit of fruit here.
Yes.
You're going to have to win a playoff game.
Absolutely.
But two pretty good drafts, highly graded drafts, really good job in free agency, and then now this? He's doing a good job. IMO.
Mm-hmm.
412-928-9370. Let's let the people have a say.
Absolutely.
Anthony in Oakland, first up today. Good morning, Anthony. How you doing, buddy?
Thank you. I called you last week, and I remember I said I wanted Jonnu Smith. I wanted to go with two tight ends, similar to what I see with Kansas City, and still have your top wide receiver. But I'm satisfied with Williams. He can be a plex type in this atmosphere where he's going to get a moon ball. And, you know, this seems to bring out the best in all of them. And when I look at – I heard something from Russell Wilson when he was talking about Calvin Austin in the summer. And he was saying he was similar to what he sees with Lockett from Seattle and how he brought out things in Lockett. He sees that in Austin, and you see Austin has played a lot better since he's been the quarterback. And one more thing, the defense needed a bigger body because you're going to be playing the Bengals and the Ravens, and it's going to be all hands on deck when you're dealing with that up front with those running backs and you're going to have to put pressure on Jackson. That's how they beat him in the past, and I think that's why they went with this. The linebacker. And thanks, guys.
Thank you, Anthony.
Well, I do want to say this, but it's not really relevant right now, but I am shocked that they didn't sign Jonnu Smith in the offseason because Jonnu Smith is an Arthur Smith guy from Tennessee and in Atlanta, and then he ends up signing with Miami. I thought that I was a lock to sign Jonnu Smith.
Me too.
And he's actually having a pretty good year this year. But, you know, for Anthony to say that, you know, he thought that they should, you know, trade for Jonnu Smith right now, their tight ends are doing great. You know, I mean, Darnell Washington, look what he's doing. They don't need any more tight ends right now.
No, they're good at that position.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And I think you're going to see better and better out of Pat Freiermuth moving forward, too.
This helps him, too.
Absolutely, it helps him. And as for Calvin Austin, man, now that this room is what it is, with Van Jefferson and Mike Williams and George Pickens, I'm excited to see how much meat's on this Calvin Austin bone here. He does just enough that it kind of tantalizes you. I mean, he had the punt return. He's dynamic in space. First game with Russ, he catches the 36-yard pass. Last game with Russ, 3 catches, 54 yards, and a touchdown. This is a good player.
Yep.
A useful player who had a red shirt first season. I think he can continue to grow.
No doubt.
And, okay, you got Van Jefferson who you can bump inside. I think it's going to be game plan specific. I think it's going to be circumstance specific. But I wonder if this might mean more opportunity for a guy that the more he plays with Russ can be a legitimate threat and a guy that you kind of have to game plan around. Because when he's in space, he can get going now.
Yeah, I mean, you always want that guy underneath that can win those one-on-one routes and under like those small routes, and he does that very well. He creates a lot of separation, and whenever you have guys that can go over the top like Mike Williams, those guys underneath are always going to be open. Like in Calvin Austin, so you're going to back up because you're scared of Mike Williams, you're scared of George Pickens. Calvin Austin's about to eat. Like if it all works out the way it's supposed to, he'll eat because if things are covered on the back end, down the field, everybody's dropping. Calvin Austin, you dump it off, he runs a little return route, you go inside and pull back out, and I mean, he could just run for days. So
yes.
this helps everybody. As we've been kind of going through the list of all the players, this helps everybody.
It does. I think it helps the running backs in the passing game. A little check down Charlie, yep. And then bang, bang, boom, Jaylen Warren out in space. We haven't seen what it looks like with Cordarrelle Patterson in there with the full complement of running backs. I think the Steelers offense, I've said this before, I feel even better about it now with Mike Williams. I think they're going to be a top 10 points per game team in the NFL by the time it's all said and done. Boy, what a test they have coming up on Sunday against Washington, by the way. There are some statistics that bear out that their offense is doing some historical stuff, Washington's. We'll get into that as the week progresses. Here's Dan from Upper St. Clair. We want calls, too. Give us a ring at 412-928-9370. Don't leave Anthony in Oakland out on an island, but here's a text from Dan in Upper St. Clair. This qualifies as a Pittsburgh Pirates last-minute joke move. Sat on his hands all offseason and half the regular season. You get what you get. What a waste. That's where I was yesterday. I thought Jacoby Myers was available. He didn't get moved. There are wide receiver needy teams out there. I'm guessing Las Vegas is getting calls on Jacoby Myers. They don't move him. They just fired their offensive coordinator. They're a joke. They're not in it for now. So that guy, I'm guessing you could have had him. Maybe their asking price is too high. So he doesn't get moved. Thielen in Carolina, similar situation, does not get moved. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, they don't get moved. Darius Slayton doesn't get moved. You don't have a fourth to give up. You don't have a sixth to give up. And again, Cooper wasn't getting traded in division. Devontae Adams was going to the Jets. Deontay Johnson could not be traded for by the Steelers within the bylaws of the NFL again. So the only guy you could be pissed off they didn't get is DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm not sure that Mike Williams and DeAndre Hopkins aren't very similar in what they can bring to a football team in 2024.
I think the term sit on your hands is not appropriate for what Omar Khan has done. If you're sitting on your hands, you're like the Dallas Cowboys and didn't even reach out to Derrick Henry. Omar Khan has reached out to the Brandon Ayuks. They've talked to them. He's talked to Adam Thielen. He's talked to Christian Kirk. He's talked to even Devontae Adams. They've talked to these guys. It just didn't work out. That's not sitting on your hands. That's actually being proactive.
Yes.
It just didn't work.
Right.
He's not sitting on his hands and like, you know what? We're not even going to entertain it.
And the Christian Kirk thing, I think he would have been their guy.
Yes. I mean, that was like almost for sure.
Yes. And what happens? He breaks his collarbone. Calvin Ridley didn't get moved. Like, if those guys had been moved and the Steelers didn't meet the asking price, I would agree.
Yes.
Chapter and verse with what the texter said. Dan from Upper St. Clair. I'd have been pissed. But none of those guys got moved. So you have to question their availability or the asking price in the first place. You're not giving up a third-round pick for Darius Slayton. It's just not, you're not doing that.
No.
And you didn't have the conditional fourth round to give up for a DeAndre Hopkins. I'm optimistic that Mike Williams can be the Steelers' version of DeAndre Hopkins. You can tweet us as well, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. How do you feel Omar Khan did at the deadline? 412-928-9370. We'll get to Bill first coming out of the break. The callers are lining up, so get in line at 412-928-9370. Right now, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. All right, real quick. Was thinking about not addressing anything. This is real quick, Dorenson. Texter, this all seems so trivial with the moral fabric of our nation in the balance. Yeah, sir, this is a Wendy's restaurant.
Right.
Like, look, there's big world stuff going on, big country stuff going on. Get it? Totally understand it. The way we've talked about this, Doran, off the air is, like, we're an escape. Like, come hang out.
Yes.
Creed, color, party. It does, just come listen, talk sports. I'm sure everyone's kind of sick of the last couple of months and political ads, and now those are gone too. So come hang out with us.
Right.
We're just chilling.
Yeah. What'd they say? This is trivial?
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect?
Well, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about sports.
Right.
That's what we're paid to do. Yeah. You don't
listen then. Well, like, honestly, like, I mean, you know what you're getting out of this.
Yeah,
And then if we go the other direction, then we're going to get yelled at.
We would get yelled at a lot more.
Right. So what do you...
We are not trained political talkers.
No.
You played in the NFL for 6 years, and I like to hear myself talk about sports. So that's what we're going to continue to do.
Correct.
412-928-9370. Understand it, acknowledging it, get it. We view ourselves every morning as an escape. We're going to have fun. We're going to talk sports. And that's just that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, here's another text. Adam is smoking to think Mike Williams is any version of DeAndre Hopkins. I don't care if it's 2024 or year 2034. DeAndre Hopkins had an argument as the best wide receiver in the game. That was never the case for Mike Williams. Okay, but it is 2024, and that does matter. And the last time either one of those players were healthy, they had 1,000 yards. Both Mike Williams and DeAndre Hopkins. They both have similar-ish skill sets. Both have had injury problems. In 21 and 22, DeAndre Hopkins played 19 combined games. The last 2 years, Mike Williams has been hurt. They're very similar. Like, you're not acquiring either player at the height of their powers.
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
Right.
So
that's the point.
That's the point. And I think now they are similar players when healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to see Mike Williams continue to get healthier, as Aaron Rodgers talked about on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. But I think in terms of fit, you get a guy that you didn't have in terms of body type. Like 6'4 and a high pointer of the football is still 6'4, a high pointer of the football. He's not a 4'4 guy that he was whenever he came out of school. Like, he's not going to be that guy. But can he run under footballs that Russell Wilson puts up? Yeah, I think he can.
For sure.
Absolutely. 412-928-9370. Bill in the car next up. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you got it, buddy. What you got?
Hey, just real quick. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in the nation, but we're talking about Steeler Nation, so there you go.
Yep. You're absolutely right, Bill.
Hey, Mike Williams, he doesn't have to come in and be Superman. Has to come in and be complimentary to the whole offense. And, you know, him spreading the field, opening up the middle. Hopefully we use the middle a little bit more with the tight end. And you have a scat back and Austin coming out. Make him your slot receiver and let him run like Renfro did in Las Vegas. Run those little out patterns and let him run. And for Smith, I'm interested to see if we play him any over the tackle. They did it in Green Bay a few times where he played over the tackle, and it freed up their outside linebackers. It'd be nice to see with him and Highsmith or Watt on the same side.
Bill, a football guy, Doran.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, Bill.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's right, though. Like, I mean, Mike Williams just needs to be a compliment to the offense, and so does everybody. I think that they view everybody like that. Like, there doesn't have to be a number one guy. And to me, like, I know Najee Harris has had a great year, but not every position doesn't have a number one guy. And I feel like that's on purpose. Like, I don't think, like, George Pickens is a number one right now, but I don't think that they view the receivers group as like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it's the receiver group, and everybody needs to be a compliment to the offense. And Russell Wilson is the best at doing that right now for this offense.
Yes.
He's really good at, he's done it for years. Like, I mean, if we go do a deep dive in Russell Wilson, I mean, all the receivers that he's played with, he's elevated, and everybody was a compliment to the offense. And then he had, like, you know, Marshawn Lynch, and you had some other guys. Like, these players on the Steelers are going to compliment each other. I think that that's kind of the core message of the Steelers on offense. How do we balance off of each other? How do we bounce off of each other? How do we compliment each other to make this a top 10 offense? And they've done pretty good at that so far. Now you're just adding another component to it that hopefully can take you even higher than you already been.
I'm with you, I look at Baltimore, and I don't think the Steelers compare from a top-end talent standpoint. You've got a two-time MVP, perhaps a three-time MVP when this season's over at quarterback. You've got one of the top two running backs in the NFL in Derrick Henry. They've got Zay Flowers. They've got Rashad Bateman. They've got two really good tight ends, and they've got Deontay Johnson. It's a really good offense. I look at Cincinnati. You got T. Higgins when healthy. He hasn't been. And you've got Ja'Marr Chase, and you've got Joe Burrow playing at the height of his powers. Okay, but there are multiple ways to skin a cat. Steelers are top 10 in the league in rushing, and I think they're fixing only to get better there. When you consider that they've been a much better running attack the last 2 years after the bye, I would expect a similar kind of jump. Pat Meyer's been there. There's the common thread. You are 13th in the league in scoring right now. You're about to get your starting center back, who may have been the best rookie offensive lineman in the league and in conversation for the best center to that point in the NFL. So you get him back, right? You don't have to have all the bells and whistles to have an effective offense. And nobody is confusing the Steelers for a top five offense, but can you be top 10? Yeah, I think so. And if you're top 10 with a top 10 defense and a top flight special teams, that's the secret sauce.
Yes.
They're as complete a team as there is yes. in the NFL. Not the best team. Not the best team, but as complete a team in the NFL? Yeah. So do you have to score 35 to beat the Chiefs in a playoff game? The hope is you got to score 28 and you hold them to 25 or something like that. That's the hope. That's how they're designed. Now we'll see in practice if it winds up working out that way. But I do think this is a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And adding Mike Williams, adding Preston Smith doesn't hurt that. It only helps that.
The thing I love about this conversation is where we're sitting right now on a Wednesday and knowing that there's two legit tests that are in front of them. Like, we are going to find out so much in these next 2 weeks, or next week and a half, man, like, about this team. Like, whether they split, whether they go 0-2, whether they go 2-0, we're going to find out a lot of where they can be, where they're at right now, how explosive they can be on offense, how good they can be on defense against quality, high quality, actually talked about NFC, AFC championship caliber teams.
I was going to save this for tomorrow, but we can have a longer term discussion, longer form discussion on it tomorrow. If you beat the Commanders, I'm going to be unbearable. I'm going to be unbearable. I think the Steelers are good.
I think they can. Like, I honestly feel like they're going to.
Yeah, they're a 2.5-point road dog. Like, okay, Commanders are good.
Yeah,
you beat them. I feel very good about this team. I think the Commanders are. I think you're really, really good, and you're playing them at their place. And here's some numbers to back this up. The Commanders' offense, this is insane. 49% of the Commanders' drives offensively reached the red zone.
Mm.
That's number one in the NFL since at least 2000. 61% of Washington's drives score points.
Wow.
That's number one in the NFL since at least 2000. And this is from Warren Sharp. I want to give him credit. Over 50% of teams in the top 10 in percent of drives to reach the red zone through week 9 made the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
That year. So we talk about this Washington offense. Oh, it's really good. It's better than really good. Through 9 games, it's like historically good. So you go in there and you beat that team. I'm buying in, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying into a point. I think the Steelers have a good chance to win a playoff game as they have in a long time. I feel better about this roster than I have at any point since the Killer Bees era. But you go in there and you beat a bona fide, what I would consider, NFC contender in their place. I don't care what it looks like. You beat them. That's all that matters. We've kind of been into the style points thing.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had style points for 2 years.
Right.
This is a game. It doesn't matter. Go get it done.
Yeah.
Baltimore, next week. Go get it done. These next 2 games, can you find a way to beat elite competition? Because you've just beat the snot, really, 3 weeks in a row out of bad teams. In the Giants game, I don't think the score was indicative of just how much the Steelers, frankly, dominated. Got a couple of touchdowns called back. Well, one called back, one bizarre 2 feet deal. Like, that's the first step. Beat bad teams and beat them handedly. The next step is go in there on the road, hostile environment, and beat a really good football team.
Rookie quarterback, whenever you have 2 weeks, basically, to prepare.
Yes. You have a...
getting healthy.
Yes. Because you're not going to have a schedule advantage going forward.
No.
You're really not. Like, you play Cleveland on the road a few days after you play Baltimore. Like, that's not easy.
That's a gauntlet right there. But who do they play after Cleveland after that Thursday night game? Because you do have that long weekend to prepare for whoever's next, and I feel like it's significant.
I think it's the Bengals.
Okay. In Cincy?
I'd have to look.
Okay, go ahead. Keep talking. I'll
look. But the schedule gets hard, too, not just in who you play, but when you play them. They'll play in 3 weeks. You're going to play in really 2 weeks, 11 days, Baltimore, Kansas City, Philadelphia.
Yes.
So this right here is a little bit of, it's a tough spot because it's a really good team, as we've just illustrated. But you do have a scheduling advantage. They played last week, did yes. Washington. You've been sitting and getting healthy and going over your tendencies and self-scouting. Like, you are in a good position here, schedule-wise. And you're not going to be in many more the rest of the year. 412-928-9.
Yeah, go ahead with the number.
412-928-9. There you go.
You're right. I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule. Not only are they significant teams that you have to play, the schedule does not fare in your favor at all.
No, and they didn't just...
I mean, the time of the schedule.
Exactly. You didn't just... And that, to me, that's what I've kind of glossed over. Like, you should... I don't care. You should beat Cleveland twice. I don't really... It doesn't matter the circumstances. They just, they've been selling all season. The bloom is off the Jameis Winston rose already. Like, one game great, next game bad. You should beat them. But Thursday after Baltimore, that's tough. I have not paid enough of attention until the last couple of days in the when you play these guys.
Right. Like, same. Just till like right now, it hit me. I was like, oof.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, Doran, you played in the league for 6 years. Three games in 11 days against legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
Well, I mean, you got the
physical team,
Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. That's what you finished with. Woo. And I know that the last two, the Chiefs and the Bengals, are home, which is, you know, that's some type of, you know, confidence boost, I guess. But that's tough.
My hope is, and I don't know that this is realistic the way Joe Burrow's playing, my hope would be that the Bengals aren't in contention for a playoff spot. And then you've got T. Higgins... And you've got Hendrickson making business decisions and saying, I ain't about that. I ain't playing. We're free agents at the end of the year. We ain't doing that. But you can't ask for gifts. You just can't. 412-928-9370. Dave, among others, waiting patiently on hold. We will get to you when we come back. Your thoughts on Omar Khan and what he was able to do at the trade deadline. Doran and I are buying what he's selling. And you've got a national... Football Insider with high praise of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll let you hear that. We'll react to that when we come back. But first, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. Here's a good text, Doran, at 412-928-9370. DeAndre Hopkins wasn't really an option either. We did not have the conditional fourth because of the Justin Fields situation. And that's true. So really... Would you rather have DeAndre Hopkins for a 3 or Mike Williams for a 5? I think I'd rather have Mike Williams for a 5.
Yes.
Like, giving up third-round picks in season, unless you're getting a guy that you're not guessing mm-hmm. on, it's tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to do. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Dave in Monongahela before we hear from an NFL analyst who had nice things to say about the Steelers. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, guys. This is actually Newman. I forgot to give him the right name. But anyway.
Cat's out of the bag now, Dave. Oh, no. Your alias is gone.
Now, hey, I do want to say that I appreciate you guys because when I ride to work, I don't want to think about work. I don't want to think about anything else. I think about what you guys are saying.
My man.
So I really appreciate the time. And as far as the edge rusher, put him on watch side on third downs. That chipper. He's not going to be chipper anymore.
You know what, dude? That's a great thought, Newman Dave. If you have Preston Smith on the outside of a tackle's shoulder, and we know that what he loves the wide nine on like third down. I mean, he's almost playing slot.
Mm-hmm.
Preston Smith's a strong guy now.
Yep.
Push that tackle in. I'm talking football.
There you go. You're doing good.
Just push that tackle in there, and then bang, what off the edge. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else, Newman?
No, guys, just keep doing what you're doing. It's great.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Love you, Dave. How about that? Yeah, toss absolutely. A little love out there.
Yeah, call anytime.
We need love out there in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Now I made it like a different kind of love with that voice.
Yeah, a little bit.
My apologies. All right, Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network says the Steelers are the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs. What?
It's the Pittsburgh Steelers because of the consistency that they've shown. You haven't lately, like their two losses were two close losses. Like coming into the season, I would not have believed at this point I'd be saying the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's because of the talent they have, but it's because of the coaching. Their coaching is humming right now. You got Mike Tomlin going out on a limb, and when I say out on a limb, going into his coaching staff and saying, I'm going to start Russell Wilson now, and knowing that that room was not in agreement with him. And then that coaching staff offensively having to turn things around and say, well, now we've got a game plan after we've been seeing the best of Justin Fields for the best of Russell Wilson and doing it. Arthur Smith and that offensive staff, they got Mike Sullivan, who was the play caller last year, who's still there as an assistant and has been sort of a bridge for Arthur Smith this year, been a sounding board for him because he was there with this team last year. They're doing a great job offensively. And defensively, how about Terrell Austin and what he is doing? We always say Mike Tomlin's defense. No, it's Terrell Austin's defense. Once upon a time, he was a hot head coaching candidate. Might be time to throw Terrell Austin's name back in there. And then Danny Smith, what they're doing from a special team standpoint. You always see the reaction from the players to Danny Smith. You can tell how much they love him. This coaching staff is the reason why I believe on any given day they can get this team ready to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
I can agree and disagree with Mike Garofalo there. I think the Steelers coaching staff has done an unbelievably good job this year. I think that's almost inarguable.
Mm-hmm.
The decision that Mike Tomlin made to go with Russ, I mean, he laid it all out there for you. Can I trust the Steelers coaching staff to win a playoff game? No, that's going to be one of them. I need to see it to believe that.
Yes.
Especially whenever the direct comparison he's making there is the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, they've won back-to-back Super Bowls. They're going for a three-peat, never been done before. Andy Reid's a legend. And Mike Tomlin's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, too, but he hadn't won a playoff game in 7 years. Done a great job to this point. That would not be the reason I'd give the Steelers the edge over the Chiefs, though, is their coaching staff.
Why would you?
What do you mean?
Give the Steelers the edge over the Chiefs, or would you?
I that's another see it to believe it kind of thing.
Yeah. There's nothing that you see from the Steelers that would give that you would think would give them an edge over the Kansas City Chiefs right now, is what you're saying?
So here's what I'll say. I think they can beat anybody, the Steelers. I do. I ain't picking anybody to beat the Chiefs today.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, they've got flies in the ointment.
But if they were, let's say in a hypothetical world.
Steelers complete team.
That's why.
I think the Steelers are.
Kansas City is too.
Agreed. I think they're kind of the Chiefs light.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, the Chiefs offense hasn't been great, but when it's nut cutting time, you know what they're going to do. They obviously have a better quarterback, but I don't think their skill position guys blow the Steelers out of the water, weird as it is to say. I think Andy Reid's the best play caller there is in the NFL. I think Arthur Smith does a really good job. The Chiefs' defense is very good. The Steelers' defense is very good. The Chiefs' special teams is good. The Steelers is the best in football. I'm going to give the edge to the team that's won two consecutive championships. Can the Steelers beat the Chiefs? Sure. Can they beat Baltimore? Can they beat Buffalo? Can they beat Houston? Can they beat Cincinnati? Can they beat the Chargers? Yeah, I think they can. I think the Steelers are a very good football team. But I'm not buying into the team that's won 17 consecutive games and back-to-back championships being vulnerable.
Yeah,
they could have lost to Tampa, and some would be having that conversation nationally. Oh, God, are the Chiefs as good? Stop it.
I mean, we know what the Chiefs are because probably half of the country that was watching that game turned it off whenever the Chiefs won the coin toss in overtime because they knew exactly what was going to happen. Everybody knew what was going to happen. As soon as they won the coin toss, as soon as Todd Bowles didn't go for two, I think people turned it off.
Yes.
So that's where the Chiefs are at, and everybody else is looking up at them.
Yes.
Bang.
So is that even the fairest way to judge a football team in 2024?
No. No, you have to beat everybody else.
Yeah.
And then figure it out whenever you do get to the top of the mountain.
That's where I am, and depending on seeding and whether or not you make the playoffs, obviously with the Steelers, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but like depending on seeding, like when do you play Kansas City? I'd like the Steelers to win the division and be the two seed, and you figure it out at Arrowhead come the AFC Championship game. Like, the latest you could possibly play them, the better. But if... I just think it's a flawed conversation. Like, who's number two is the conversation.
Yes.
The Chiefs are always going to be up on that pedestal until they get knocked out. And until they get knocked out in the playoffs, like, I don't know. It's just a weird conversation to me. You can give us a ring, though, on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Dylan's been waiting patiently. Hi.
Hey, guys, good morning. I do think the Steelers are a really complete football team on three sides of the ball, offense, defense, special teams. I think November 17th against the Ravens is going to tell us a lot. I don't think Buffalo is a contender, even though they have made some moves. I think it's Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh wrapping up the AFC. So sit tight and we'll see. November 17th will tell us a lot in the NFC. In my opinion, is still up for grabs, even though the Detroit Lions are playing well.
Man, they're good.
Enjoy the day, guys. Trump 2024.
Thanks, Dylan. You knew you'd get one or two in there.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you can say it. We're not going to.
That's right, yeah. Well,
Now that I do look at the schedule, though, and we might have talked about this before, kind of glad that you get the Ravens and the division opponents now, because – if you would have got the Ravens second week, I mean, you're getting Justin Fields against the Ravens. Who knows how that would have went? Now you're getting Russell Wilson that has gotten his feet wet.
Interesting.
Against all these teams. You're feeling pretty good. Like, we're feeling a lot better than we have all year. And we felt pretty good about Justin Fields. Like, we thought that he could be the starter, and we were on the Justin Fields train, and I thought he did a fantastic job. But if he were to play the Bengals, if he were to play the Eagles, if he would have played the Chiefs, if he would have played the Ravens in those first six games, he went 4-2. Don't know if it's looking like 4-2.
I'm with you on that.
And I feel a lot better with Russ at the back half after he has had some games underneath his belt to actually win those football games.
We've been talking about the Steelers as a complete football team. We've been talking about the Steelers as a good football team. Like, they're a good football team. In order to be good and not just a team that wins enough to get in, because I think those are two totally different things, you need that adult passing attack. And Russell gives you that. And it's so funny to hear the way that the last caller framed it. Like, okay, he's not scared of Buffalo. Buffalo's scared of the Chiefs. The Ravens scared of the Chiefs, and they haven't won enough in the playoffs for anybody to be super thrilled with what Harbaugh's done, right? Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in 7 years. The only team that's not scared of the Chiefs is Cincinnati, because they beat them.
True.
They beat them.
True.
And I don't know how big of a threat Cincinnati is just based on math. There's something the Steelers do need to do these next 2 weeks. I'll tell you when we come back. We got Ray Fittipaldo at 8 o'clock. Right now, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. Minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 to Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. In 10 minutes, Ray Fittipaldo going to join us of the Post-Gazette Steelers Insider to weigh in on both the moves the Steelers made yesterday. A lot of good callers on today's show. If you want to get in line, we'd love to talk to you at 412-928-9370. I'm going to make a statement, and you let me know if you agree or disagree, Doran. No. Okay, yeah. Steelers need to win the next two.
No.
I think they're a good team. I think that they can win a playoff game. You win the next two, and I think you can be an AFC championship kind of team.
Yes. Yes.
Like, these next two games are telling. And I had argued for a while that Baltimore games aren't really ever telling, because you drag them into a dogfight and you're going to play. You've had a ton of success against them. You're going to see Mike Tomlin outcoach Harbaugh. It happens all the time. He overthinks things. He plays the exact game the Steelers want to play. And I thought, okay, you're not going to learn much from that. I think this year's Ravens team is different. I think they play different. I think Lamar can beat you from the pocket in a way he hasn't been able to do. I think they've got more weapons. I think it's the best Ravens offense we've seen, and it's the worst Ravens defense we've seen. And so you're probably going to have to beat them in a shootout, which is not usually how you do it against that team. And if you do, it tells me a lot. If you beat Washington, I think a legitimate contender in the NFC, even though a rookie quarterback's never won a Super Bowl, I think that tells me a lot, because I think you're probably going to have to beat them by putting points up and maybe reach the high 20s. If you can do that, get to 8-2, I mean, it's obviously huge for you in the standings. It's huge for you in the AFC North, especially beating Baltimore. But if you can beat those teams the way I think you need to play to beat them, that's going to tell me you can put up points. You can score with just about anybody. And to outshoot out those guys, I think that's a big, big deal. So we'll see, but that's kind of how I view these next two games.
Well, I think it's the way that it looks is one, but I think that they have to beat the Ravens because they haven't played a divisional opponent yet. So I think that, you know, you need to get that one division win underneath your belt whenever you do head into, you know, the, you know, half of rest of November and December. I think you can afford to lose to the Commanders. They're an NFC team.
Sure.
It's an away game. It's off of a bye week. Not making excuses. If they win both, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's fantastic. But I think they could afford to split, and as long as they're splitting and one of those wins is against the Ravens, which is a divisional team, mm-hmm. and a team that basically a two-man race to the top, and that's one of them.
Who do you want to win tomorrow? Cincinnati or Baltimore? I've thought a lot about that.
Cincinnati.
I might be the other way.
I want to see the Ravens as vulnerable as possible before I play them, you know, the following week.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Maybe I'm viewing this too much like college-wise. Like in college, I always want a team coming off a win, not coming off a loss, because I just think, you know, motivating 18 to 22-year-olds is probably different than motivating NFL people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want the Ravens coming off a loss. And I also want Cincinnati to just get knocked out of this thing. Like 4-5 is different than 4-6. And their conference record's bad. Their division record would then not be good. I want Cincinnati to get shoved finally to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're one loss away from like, are they gonna make it? Like mm-hmm. math becomes tough for them.
But then all their focus is on just beating you. Like being if the steal, like they
spoiler
can just
alert. Spoil,
yes. Mm-hmm. Like that your focus changes whenever you know you're out of it. It's like, all right, let's just spoil everything for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what worries me about the Bengals no matter what, is that they'll be that spoiler team, like especially for the Steelers, that they'll get, you know, caught with their guard down and we'll beat them and kind of ruin things for the Steelers. So if it's a two-team race, I would love to see the Ravens lose a divisional game to another one. And then you're okay, you got some wiggle room.
I mean, if the Ravens lost to Cincinnati, then you beat them. Now it's
right.
Now it's almost a one-team race.
Right.
All right, we'll talk about that more tomorrow.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense. We'll talk. I think we can spend a fair amount of time on that tomorrow. I'm excited to break that game down on Friday. I love it when you get a division matchup on Thursday Night Football. All right, coming up next, Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here. Oh, yes, it's here. The Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 69. Possible rain in the forecast.